Well, we had just a blessed day yesterday at Brother Mahan's funeral, and I will try. I know it was streamed on audio, and I will try to find out if it has been preserved. If it has, I'll get you the internet address where you can listen to the services at your leisure. And needless to say, my mind has been greatly on Brother Mahan, memory of experience with him over the years, throughout the day, today and yesterday. I heard him say many times, or tell many times about the first time he heard the gospel of God's grace. Ralph Barnard was brought to Ashland for a citywide meeting, and all of the churches that claimed to be Christian churches in the city, the whole city, had a meeting in Central Park in Ashland. And Rolf got up the first night of the meeting, and he said, "There are two lies commonly told on God. They're told everywhere, and they're not true." He says, "First one is God loves everybody. He don't. That's just not so. And the second is that Christ died for everybody." He says, "That's a lie. He didn't." And, of course, things erupted from there. But God, by gracious wisdom, sends messengers to his church as needed to preserve and keep his church, even in the darkest of days. And that's my subject tonight, God, our keeper. My text you will find in Isaiah chapter 27, verses 2 and 3. God, our keeper. "In that day, sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day." Here the church of God is compared to a vineyard. That is frequently the case throughout the scriptures. God's church is his vineyard, the vineyard of God's planting, the vineyard of God's tending, the vineyard of God's care. In Matthew 20, our Lord Jesus gave us a parable in which he described the church as a vineyard into which the Lord God sends his laborers. He calls for us to send, to pray that the Lord of the harvest might send forth laborers into his field. And he tells us that his church is a vineyard into which he sends his laborers, preachers of the gospel, to care for and to tend and to keep alive his vineyard. Then in John 15, our Lord Jesus tells us that he is the vine of which you and I are branches. And he says, "My Father is the vine dresser. He's the husbandman. He's the keeper of the vineyard." Here, the church is called a vineyard of red wine. It's called a vineyard of red wine because, as best I can determine from what I'm able to read, the red grape was the best grape grown in Palestine. And the Lord God considers his church the best of the best, the most excellent in the earth, because he has made it so. His church is the most excellent in the earth. He has made her so. His delight is in her. I'm certain also that the church is called a vineyard of red wine because it is the fruit of Christ's blood, the blood symbolized by the red wine that we take every Sunday evening in the cup of communion. All the plants of this vineyard spring from, live in, and bear fruit from one vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, the true vine. And the red wine represents the believers' trials in this world, the fruit of their trials. As the wine is squeezed from the grape in the wine press, so God's people in this world bring forth fruit unto God as they are pressed and squeezed by the well-ordered afflictions of divine providence. God brings trial to individual believers and to His church, to individual congregations and to the church as a whole. Not only that He may prove our faith to ourselves, but that He may cause us to bring forth fruit to His glory. And the squeezing of the grape brings forth the juice, so the squeezing of God's people in adversity brings forth fruit unto God. You will observe in God's people, when they're tried, their most excellence. You will observe in God's people, when they're tried, the sweet grace of God working in them. Tribulation worketh patience. We find it only by tribulation. Increasing patience, hope. We find it only by tribulation. These things God does for us, for His glory, for the benefit of His people. A vineyard is a piece of ground, chosen and separated from the rest of a man's property. So it is with God's church. All things are His. All men and women are His. He's the ruler of all, possessor of all. But He's chosen His church. He separates His church from the rest of the world as His vineyard. A vineyard is fenced in. Fenced in to keep it from wild animals that would destroy it. Isaiah tells us of this vineyard in the 5th chapter. He fenced it and gathered out stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it. A vineyard is deliberately planted. It's not something that just grows by nature or springs up by the wild. The church of God is deliberately planted by God. It is not something nature will produce. The believer is God's plant. It's something God has produced, not something produced by nature. And the vineyard requires constant care. It must be pruned. Stones have to be gathered out of it. It has to be watered. And it must be constantly watched over. I've never had a vineyard, well, just a real small one, 3 or 4 grapevines. You'd hardly call that a vineyard. But Shelby and I raised a garden for years. And you can't leave it to itself. It'll soon die. We're fixing to go to California. Shelby make arrangements to see to it. Somebody waters the flowers she planted recently. If she doesn't, they will soon wither and die. So it is with God's church. It must be watched over. And God declares in our text, I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Without question, this refers to the whole church of God's elect. The whole kingdom of God, the entire kingdom of heaven, it's His vineyard. It also speaks of every local church, every gospel church. I don't mean by that all their called churches. I mean every church where God is worshipped, where the gospel of God's grace is proclaimed. Of this church, Grace Baptist Church of Danville, God says, this is my vineyard. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. And all that's promised to the church extends to every individual believer. All that's promised here to the whole church of God, to the local church, is promised to you who are God's. The Lord God, who keeps the whole vineyard, keeps each branch of the vine. His care extends even to the smallest branches and to every leaf. So the promise of our text, while it includes the whole vineyard, the whole church of God, it extends to every branch of the vine our Father has planted. Every believer, every child of God, all who are members of the body of Christ, joined to Christ the vine. We are bought with His blood, grafted into Him by God's grace, drawing life from Him by God-given faith. The Lord God is the keeper of His vineyard, and we are His vineyard. The Lord God is the keeper of His vineyard, and we are His vineyard. Most of you are aware of the heartache Brother Mahan experienced several years ago with all the eruption of things in Ashland. I heard him say many times before that and many times since that in the face of trouble, when men would despair, he said, God is not out of business. God is not out of business. No matter how things look, no matter how they appear, no matter how painful they are in the feeling of them, in the experience of them, God is not out of business. He is still God, our keeper. The Lord God is the keeper of the vineyard, and we are His vineyard. Look at the text again. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Augustus Toplady wrote a hymn concerning this. A couple of verses read like this. Upon my leaf, when parched with heat, refreshing dew shall drop. The plant which thy right hand hath set shall never be rooted up. Each moment watered by thy care and fenced with power divine, fruit to eternal life shall bear, the feeblest branch of thine. His vineyard will bear fruit to him for eternity. The vine God has planted, God will keep. And my text this evening forms the kind of message I really enjoy preaching. The outline is right here in the text. These 4 points. I, the Lord, do keep it. I'll spend the bulk of my time there. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Here's the first thing. I, the Lord, do keep it. I repeat, this is a promise of God to His church as a whole. This is a promise of God to every individual congregation. This is a promise of God to every member of His church. We are kept, tended, protected, and guarded by God Himself. Kept by the power of God. The Lord Himself, our great God, the triune Jehovah, our keeper, is He who neither slumbers nor sleeps. Turn back to Psalm 91. I want to read 2 very precious psalms to you. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, for the arrow that flieth, or for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. We don't begin to grasp that as we ought. My dear wife reminds me of it often when I need to be reminded of it. We drive a lot. And on the road have many times been in situations where it looked like serious accidents were at hand. And I would exercise what limited driving skills I have and be nervous and get done and start to relax a little bit. And she will often repeat these lines to me. He shall give his angels charge over thee. What are the angels? Ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be the heirs of salvation. To keep thee. Where do they keep you? In all thy ways. In all thy ways. That means wherever you go. Whatever your circumstances. Whether they are circumstances of adversity and calamity brought on by your own wickedness and unbelief, whether they are ways of affliction and trouble and sorrow brought on by God's goodness and mercy, he shall keep thee in all thy ways. They, the angels of God, shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. What a statement. What a statement. God says concerning Lindsay Campbell, because he hath set his love on me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. As if somehow your love and your knowledge is the cause of God's goodness. And we know better. We love him because he first loved us. We know his name because he made his name known to us. And yet he rewards us for the love and the faith that he gives us. He rewards us for it because Christ has earned it for us. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Not necessarily with 92 years or 82 years or 52 years or 42 years, but with eternal life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. He shows it now. He showed it to us in the day when first he revealed Christ in us. But oh, my soul, how little we can see. When we have left this world and enter into that long life with which we shall be rewarded, then we shall see God's salvation. Now, turn over to Psalm 121. Most of you, I'm sure, can quote this psalm. Brother David Coleman sang it to us so long. Brother Gabe Stonaker sang it yesterday at Brother Mahan's graveside. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, the triune Jehovah, is thy keeper. The Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, evil from without and evil from within. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now let's go back to our text, Isaiah 27. Let me see if I can handle this subject in a practical way to benefit our hearts. The Lord God promises, I will keep it. This I know, I need keeping. I need keeping. In the years of my experience on this earth, I have seen many, many, many promising folks start in the way of faith. I've seen many profess faith, many who appear to be men, women upon whom God has performed a work of grace, who, as our Lord said in the parable, endure for a while, but then something chokes out the word. They dry up, they wither, they're blown away, and they're gone. I need keeping. I trust I'm one of God's, chosen by His grace, redeemed by the blood of His darling Son, called by His Spirit, but I need keeping. Because my foes are many, and like a tender vine, I have no strength, no ability in myself to prevent any from destroying me. Learn this, children of God. I'm certain one reason God has left us in this body of flesh so that we have to struggle all our days with every manner of the lust of the flesh is to make us understand that any one of those things that pop up in your mind through the day and the night, any one would destroy you in a moment if God didn't keep you. Any one of those evil things that pop up in your heart day or night would destroy me in a moment if God didn't keep me. What can a vine do? Nothing. If I'm kept, God must keep me. The vine planted in the midst of the field is exposed to all sorts of perils and dangers, and we need keeping. Let me remind you of a few. Satan, the archenemy of our souls, does everything in his power to uproot and destroy the vine God has planted. If he had his way, you and I would not possess one grain of grace or one spark of faith. He's like a roaring lion who goes about all the time seeking whom he may devour. He's described in just that way by the Apostle Peter. He's pictured just that way in Revelation chapter 12. He desires not only to sift us as wheat, but he would burn us as chaff. The fiend of hell would destroy us if he could. Well did our Savior teach us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. More literally, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If we really knew Satan's power, if any of us really knew his malice toward us, we would never cease to give thanks for the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ prays for us. And this is how he prays. I pray not that thou wouldest take them out of the world, but that thou wouldest keep them from the evil. There again, I pray not that thou wouldest take them out of the world, but that thou wouldest keep them from the evil one. He doesn't pray that we would be kept from evil things. He puts us in the midst of evil things often, but he prays that we may be kept from the power of the evil one. Oh, how we need keeping. If we had no other adversary than the devil alone, we couldn't stand for a moment but by God's keeping. But other adversaries we have. A vine planted in the wilderness is exposed to the wild boar who would dig it up and devour its roots. The wild boar the psalmist spoke of, unbelief. I've often said God's people ought never doubt. That's so. We ought never doubt. But I know that we often do. I delight to sing when I can read my title clear to mansions in the sky. I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes. But there are many times when I cannot and do not read my title clear. I don't doubt my Lord, but I've often been made to doubt my interest in Him. Like Thomas, I sometimes will not believe because I cannot see. Like Peter walking across the water to the Lord Jesus, as he took his eyes off the Savior, began to sink. So we often take our eyes off the Savior. We start looking at the sea around us. Were it not for God who keeps the vineyard, the wild boar of unbelief would destroy us. Worse yet than looking at the sea around us, we are horribly prone to start looking at ourselves. And as often as we look to ourselves for anything, for any hope, for any strength, for any ability, as often as we look to ourselves, we begin to sink. Satan often raises Moses up, as he did against Joshua, God's high priest in Zechariah 3. And he cast the law before us and would cause us to look to our obedience. The accuser constantly throws our sin in our faces. And when he cannot sink us with sin, he floods our minds with the horrid pride of self-righteousness. When pride doesn't destroy, he hurls at us despair, a sense of spiritual numbness. And with those things, he would destroy us if God didn't keep us. There are many small insects, unseen pests, quiet worms that might easily destroy the vine of the wild if it were not for the fact that the Lord God keeps them. In fact, it's far easier to detect the wild boar or the raging lion than to detect these small creatures, the aphid of indifference, the cankerworm of pride, the caterpillar of conceits, the grubworms of self-sufficiency. Nothing more quickly would destroy the vine or an entire vineyard than those quiet things that we ignore. But the Lord God says, I do keep it. Besides that, the vine of God's planting is often attacked by nibbling little foxes, we're told in the Song of Solomon. Nibbling little foxes who work in the secrecy of darkness. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. Our vines have tender grapes. Little foxes of false doctrine. Little foxes of neglecting God's ordinances. Little foxes of gossip and contentious, critical spirit. God's vines put forth their tender grapes, which these foxes would destroy. How they would seek to destroy love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, the fruit of the Spirit. The little foxes would destroy. But God won't allow it. He says, I will keep it night and day. Then we have those foul blackbirds that come in droves just as the grapes are ripening. Worldliness. Like most people in this age, I thought for many years, before God saved me, many years afterwards, the great thing of worldliness was, you know, dressing like the world or going to worldly places or enjoying worldly amusements. You can't go dancing, can't go to the movies, can't drink wine, can't smoke a cigarette, can't Can't watch television. Can't play cards. You can't. And the more you can't do, the more godly you are. No. Those things may involve worldly things we ought to avoid. But John speaks of the love of the world. Materialism, greed, ambition, selfishness, self-satisfaction, self-sufficiency. When we begin to say to ourselves, well done, you can mark it down, it's ill done. Let us not be numbered with those of whom Habakkuk describes, who sacrifice unto their own net and burn incense unto their drag. Never was there a vine that needed keeping like this vine does. Me. I must be kept. I must be kept. I often think to myself, and I think accurately, think to myself, the easiest place on this earth to hide from God is in the service of a pastor who spends all his days reading the Word and studying while neglecting his soul, looking for something with which to minister to others. If ever there was a vine that needed keeping, it is this one. So I ask you, as God promises to keep his vine, you pray that he'll keep this vine. But we can't keep ourselves. Thank God the text does not say, I, the Lord, have planted it. Now I will leave it to grow and flourish and bring forth fruit and keep itself. We must be watchful, yes. But our watchfulness of ourselves is the result of God's watchfulness of us. Augustine used to pray like this. I read this somewhere a long time ago. Lord, save me from that evil man, myself. Save me from that evil man, myself. I have no foe in the universe like myself. I have no enemy who would destroy me like myself. And the same is true of you. There is not a word of truth to Wesley's hymn that goes, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save, and fit it for the sky. What foolishness. Only God can save my soul. Only God can do it and fit it for the sky, and he has done it in Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And as the fullness of God dwells in him, ye are complete in him. We are never so weak as when we think we're strong. We're never so poor as when we think we're rich. Let us learn then to live to Christ, to cling to Christ, having nothing but possessing all things in Christ. He's our strength. He's our salvation. Now look briefly at the next slide. I will water it every moment. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment. Watering is an essential part of the gardener's business. The corn and the beans will not bear fruit without water. The flowers cannot be kept in bloom without being watered. As this vine must be kept by God, it must be watered by him as well. Many years ago, first time I went to Chiapas, Mexico to visit with Brother Milton Howard, we went out to the coffee plantation. Of course, plantation in Mexico is not quite like they were in the south here. It's just a man who had a large piece of property in the mountains of Chiapas, Mexico, up in the Chiapas Highlands, and he raised coffee beans. And way out there in the middle of nowhere, this man had built a little chapel. Oh, I guess about not even a fourth the size of this auditorium. It'd seat probably 20, 25 people, maybe 30. And we'd go out there and preach. And I was out visiting with Roberto and Milton, and I were walking together, and we got to talk about his irrigation system. Had this huge irrigation system. Just amazing what he had done out there. And we were talking about it a little bit, and he said, I can water these fields all day long. But I can't do as much good watering the fields all day long as God does with one good shower. He who waters his vine is God. He waters it by his word, by his spirit, making the word effectual. The soil in which this vine is planted is horribly dry. Tell me, you who are born of God, have you found anything in this world? Anything in this world? Anything in this world of any benefit to your soul? You answer no, and you answer right. Often people think, if I could just change my place, move away, I'd be better off. It's never so. You can't move away from trouble, because the trouble is in you. You only move from one set of outward troubles to another set, but you can't move from trouble. God puts difficulties in our way, such as we need. And with the difficulties he puts in your way, he gives you grace to endure them and to profit by them. He puts difficulties in my way, such as I need. And with the difficulties, with the affliction, with the adversity, he gives me the grace that's needed to bear the difficulties he puts in my way. The things by which you grow and thrive might crush me. And the things by which I grow and thrive might crush you. God gives his vine, each member of his church, exactly what we need day by day. Frequently, even those things that are given to help us yield no water, because there's no grace in the means of grace, only in the God of grace. It is God who makes his word profitable to your soul. If what I have to say here tonight, what I've said already, or what I say in the next couple of minutes, is of any benefit to your soul, it will only be because God made it so. And if what you experience day by day benefits your soul, it's only because God makes it so. The beauty of this promise is here. Every moment. I will water it every moment. Oh, wondrous God, wondrous grace. His grace is perpetual. His grace is perpetual. It is ever flowing from his throne down from heaven to your soul in an unceasing flood of grace. You and I need the ordinances of public worship. We can't survive alone. We need the constant watering of grace. But only God can make his grace profitable to us. I once read about a man of whom others said he ate and drank and slept Jesus Christ. Oh, how I wish that were true of me. He ate and drank and slept Jesus Christ. Oh, God, give me grace when I awake in the morning to awake with Christ on my heart. When I dress to put on the garments of salvation. When I go through the day to walk in your path. When I come in at night to rest in your Son. And when I lie down at night to have my mind fixed upon him. As we're commanded to pray without ceasing, God promises to water us without ceasing. Oh, let me experience that promise. Let my heart always be wrapped up in, baptized in, and draw life from Christ. Let me have my life full of Him, watered every moment. Back years ago, before Shelby's dad died, we'd go up there and visit. And everywhere that old man sat, every time he sat down, I don't care if it was out in the barn, I don't care if it was in the granary outside the house, wherever he sat down, you'd find a scrap of paper somewhere. In the house, you'd find a scrap of paper. He was forever working on a puzzle. You remember that? I don't reckon he ever got it figured out. But everywhere you'd go, you'd see a drawing of that little puzzle. I've tried to work it a number of times myself. Never could do it. But I gave up. He didn't. He just kept on working on it. Oh, God, let Christ so influence me that He's ever on my mind and on my heart. Look at the third line of our text. Lest any hurt it. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. Nothing shall hurt God's vine. There shall no evil happen to the just. Turn over a few pages to Isaiah 54. Look at this. Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. No weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. God said, the blacksmith is in my hands. He tempers things as I temper them. And no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. I'm not aware of most of them, but I've been aware of a few weapons formed against me. And the ones of which I have been made aware, I have been made to see how that God calls me to prosper by the weapon formed against me. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. God's people are often assaulted by dogs barking against them. But the Lord God made this promise. Against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Let the dog bark all he will, he can do nothing to God's. Here's the fourth thing. I will keep it night and day. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. In the night of adversity and in the day of prosperity. In the night of trouble and in the day of peace. In the night of sorrow and in the day of rejoicing. In the night of temptation and in the day of deliverance. In the night of indifference. And in the day of devotion. You see, all the circumstances are alike dangerous to us because of our inward sin. Whether you're talking about devotion or indifference. Whether you're talking about trouble or peace. Whether you're talking about sorrow or joy. They're all alike dangerous circumstances to us. Except the Lord God keep His vineyard. Blessed be His name. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And let me wrap the message up by reading another passage of Scripture, the 80th Psalm. The 80th Psalm. Begin at verse 8. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs into the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that they, all they which pass by the way, do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O Lord of hosts. Look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine. Verse 17. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. Let your hand be on the Lord Jesus. So will not we go back. As long as God's right hand is on his Son, our mediator, so shall we not go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. That's my prayer. And this is God's promise. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Amen.